From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Remember running around the playground when you were a kid? Maybe hanging from the monkey bars or seeing who could swing the highest. Those games were more than mindless play. They taught you how to make friends, follow rules, and navigate relationships. But for children with physical disabilities, the chance to learn those lessons on a playground has been practically non-existent until recently. NPR's Robert Benincasa reports on efforts to make playgrounds accessible.
Walk up the yellow brick road to the playground entrance, past the pretend John Deere tractor, and look near the base of the towering make-believe rocket ship. You'll see 7-year-old Brooklyn Fisher playing. She's one of the fastest kids on the playground. Her dad, Johnny Fisher, and I watch her fly up to the top of this elaborate play structure and zip back down to the ground in a flash.
I get scared you might run me over. You're flying down those ramps.
Because I let go of my wheels. That's why.
She lets go of her wheels, the wheels on her wheelchair. This playground, a sprawling, colorful mix of whimsy and history in Pocatello, Idaho, is named after her, Brooklyn's Playground. Brooklyn's mom and dad led the effort to build it. Johnny Fisher explains that it's what's called an inclusive playground.
You create a place where kids of any ability are going to be playing together. So now those kids with disabilities are going to be shoulder to shoulder with their peers who they normally cannot be shoulder to shoulder with. They'll be in an environment where they can ask questions. Kids are curious. All they want to do is just ask questions, get answers, and then they can move past the disability and they can focus on the child.
Pocatello is an old railroad town in southeast Idaho. Brooklyn's playground sits on a flat, often windy park with a view of the Rocky Mountains. There's a make-believe general store with a clock tower, a castle, a pirate ship. That it's here at all goes back to a bump on the head. When Brooklyn was 3, Johnny took her to another playground and put her in a regular swing.
I thought she could handle it, so I put her in there, and my wife said, I wouldn't do that, and I thought, oh, she'll be fine. And I started pushing her, and she was doing great.
But Brooklyn was born with spina bifida, and she has difficulty controlling her muscles. With no back support, she flipped out of the swing and hit her head.
And so it was at that time that my wife said, we need to do this. We need to bring a playground for her, for the other kids in our community, to Pocatello, and that's when we started doing a lot of the research.
Inclusive designs have been evolving for decades, but recently, parents have been expecting more from the local playground.
Can you guys show me around a little bit and show me some of the features?
Yeah. We have the therapeutic swings. These have got backs, so kids that don't have that muscle tone can get in there completely and feel safe and secure and swing.
One of the most important parts of an accessible playground is literally the ground.
We have ramps leading up to all the play structures. You have the solid surfaces throughout the entire playground. With walkers or wheelchairs, it's very easy to go around this.
It's pretty springy.
It is springy. Yeah, if they fall, they usually don't get hurt on this.
If the surface weren't smooth, if it were sand or those familiar wood chips, kids in wheelchairs would get stuck, or their parents would have to carry them. But ramps and other features of inclusive playgrounds drive up costs. The smooth, forgiving surface here cost more than $150,000. And at 15,000 square feet, Pocatello's playground is something most municipalities wouldn't build on their own. So the Fishers got the help of a local civic group and started raising funds. Over 8 months, the money poured in from grants and hundreds of individual donations, bake sales, even garage sales.
We raised $580,000, and it cost about $560,000, so we have $20,000 in the maintenance fund.
And when it came time to build the playground, 3,000 people showed up to work. In a week, it was done. It was a great grassroots effort. But aren't public playgrounds the responsibility of local governments? Couldn't the city of Pocatello have built it?
Absolutely not. Not on the budget that we have.
That's Pocatello Mayor Brian Blad, who joined us at the playground. Blad and officials from other municipalities tell NPR that a weak economy has put many local governments in survival mode, providing basic services and not much more.
The resources just wouldn't be there for a playground like this. The money's needed in so many other places.
But as of last spring, federal law requires that play areas be accessible. It's a civil right under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So if a town does build or renovate a playground, it must meet specific accessibility standards. and localities must provide their residents with something called program accessibility. Basically, that means equal play opportunities for everyone in the community.
Play areas are not just places where kids have fun.
Eve Hill is a civil rights lawyer with the Justice Department, which enforces the ADA.
They're places where kids learn to interact with the world and with each other. Recreation was one of the places where the civil rights movement started, with desegregating pools and desegregating lunch counters and movie theaters. These were not unimportant.
Brooklyn's playground and the kids who use it were enough to inspire a California woman who stopped in Pocatello last fall during a family road trip.
I was definitely tearful and a bit overwhelmed. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I had chills all over. I knew that it was a pretty pivotal moment for me.
Amanda Baker had her daughter Tatum with her. Tatum was about 2 at the time. She also has spina bifida and uses a wheelchair.
I put Tatum in a swing and kind of sat back and absorbed it all and looked up and saw an older child, maybe 10 or 12, a little girl, in a motorized wheelchair up on the pirate ship, surrounded by 3 or 4 friends her age who were able-bodied children, playing and laughing.
After a minute, it sunk in.
That's when I really was struck with this idea of this is what it means to be included.
Baker knew right then what she had to do when she got back home to Salinas, California.
It was literally the next breath where I just knew that we were going to have to find a way to make an experience like this possible in our hometown as well.
In March, the city of Salinas approved Baker's request to build the playground in a public park. She's raised about $400,000 so far and expects to begin construction next month. Robert Benincasa, NPR News.
And with your help, NPR is compiling a national database of accessible playgrounds. To find one near you or to add one to the database, visit npr.org/playgrounds.
All Things Considered is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. Learn more about the music and artists you hear on NPR and discover new music by visiting npr.org/music. There you can also hear a Tiny Desk concert or get an exclusive first listen of new music. This is NPR.